I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like $1 million.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast. George Norrie with you. We're with John Truman Wolf. His website, again, is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. A couple of his books include The Coming Financial Crisis, Crisis by Design, The 99 Strongest Banks in America. When we talk about replacing cash with digital currencies, John, how will they do that? I mean, if somebody's got $10,000 in the bank, and they go in there to get some cash out, what happens if they've switched it to all digital and they say, sorry, we don't have cash anymore?
Well, obviously, George, it'll be flanked by a PR campaign from the Fed and the government and the Treasury and so forth. I was shocked a couple of months ago to hear a talk by the president of the Cleveland Fed. Your listeners may or may not know there are 12 Federal Reserve banks, the big ones in New York, of course, but there's one in Cleveland, among other cities.
One in St. Louis, too.
And St. Louis. The one in St. Louis is kind of famous. But the one in Cleveland, the president's a woman, and she was giving a talk about digital currencies because the Fed is exploring this. They're under contract with MIT, exploring how to roll out digital currencies in the U.S. And she's making a talk. She's giving a talk to some public group. I don't know if it was the Chamber of Commerce or Rotary or one of these. At any rate, she says we are exploring the possibility of having customers actually have their accounts with the central bank. In other words, that would bypass the banking industry entirely.
Wow.
And the central bank would be putting the digital currencies into the account. Now, I don't think that's – just personally, I don't think that's going to happen because I don't think the banking industry would stand for it. But
no, I mean, it would wipe them out.
Whether it goes directly to the central banks or to, your local B of A, Wells Fargo, what have you – I'm sure there'll be a big PR campaign and they'll explain, okay, good, this is happening here, but it's coming, George, it's coming. What is most trepidatious about it from my perspective is the loss of privacy because, every single, place you spend, your digital currency, the government will be able to follow it. I was writing about this as a privacy issue. And then there was a statement by the head of the Bank for International Settlements a few days ago, which shocked me. He says, let me quote here. This guy's name is Augustin Karsten. He says, he's in the middle of a talk. He says, for example, in cash, we don't know, for example, who's using a $100 bill today.
No, they don't. They don't.
Exactly. What business is it of yours? But he makes this point. We don't know who has got a 1,000 peso bill today. A key difference with CBDCs, again, that's central bank digital currencies. That's the currency central banks will put out.
As opposed to the CBD that people have been using for health purposes.
Yeah. So he says, is that central banks will have absolute control on the rules and regulations that will determine the use of that expression of the central bank liability, which means the coins. Also, we'll have the technology to enforce that. Basically, he's saying, George, that they're going to have complete control over the currency system on the planet. I was shocked that he said it. It was a video. This is coming. And so one of the things I've been writing about is, you know, if that's coming, what would we do about it? And we can talk about that.
Sure. Well, what happens if one day, John, you go to get it and you can't get it out?
Well, that's another problem, because they can control your digital currency. I think they can, you know, take your taxes when they want to. You know, you walk into a liquor store to buy a six pack, George, and you give them the card, and the little note comes back and goes, you know, sorry, that's the second six pack this month. Beer's not good for you. Kind of behavior control may sound like science fiction, but trust me, this is coming.
It will wipe out drug dealers, won't it?
How do you mean?
Well, I mean, if they're not dealing in cash anymore, how's a drug dealer going to get digital currency?
Well, my opinion is that there will be a black market in Ben Franklin's and in gold and silver. You know, and they'll use Bitcoin. I mean, it's one of the liabilities of cryptos that they, you know, they do get used for nefarious purposes. There's an important difference, George, between the central bank digital currencies, the currencies that are put out by central banks and can be monitored by the government, and Bitcoin, which is called a decentralized cryptocurrency, meaning there's nobody controlling it.
Right.
Those are two different avenues for cryptos.
Who wins out?
Well, I think it's smart for people to stick their toe into the crypto market so that they've got some currency outside of the formal banking system. I don't think it hurts at all to have that level of protection. You want to get in and invest and do all that, that's a little bit of a different activity. But, you know, owning some Bitcoin and having a type of currency that is not controlled by the central bank, I think is a wise move.
It's truly remarkable the way it's working. If this happens, what's the timetable? What's your guess in doing away with cash?
Well, China says, you know, China is the leading industrial nation. They said they're rolling theirs out in 2022. I think in the U.S., Jerome Powell testified before Congress saying, well, you know, we're exploring it and we'll come to Congress and give you the final recommendations. I think it's probably a couple of years down the road.
Oil is purchased in dollars right now. How would something like that work in cryptos? Would every country have its own crypto, or is it all central?
Well, I think the speech by this guy, Augustin Carstens, talks about that in the broader speech, because he's viewing this from the viewpoint of all the banks on the planet. And he's talking about, I mean, his speech was primarily on that exact subject. How do they swap cryptos? If the Fed comes out with the U.S. Crypto and China's got the yuan and there's one in Europe and there's one in Japan, which there are, then they are, as we speak, working out what the exchange mechanisms are. And I think in this day of technology, that's probably not too difficult.
Interesting take on all of this. My God. Does any of this scare you, John?
Well, it doesn't scare me, but it's a circumstance I don't like. And that's why I'm writing about it all the time. People aren't aware that this is going on. But central banks all over the world are working on this furiously. And at some point, the public will wake up and go, yike. It doesn't scare me, but I think it's important to understand that there are at least some ways around that, some things that people can do to store their assets and those things that they use for exchange out of their bank account.
What if you want to borrow money from a friend and it's not cash because there's no cash anymore? How would that work?
The biggest area in the decentralized crypto market, that means the Bitcoin area where government doesn't control it, is called DeFi, George, decentralized finance. There are all kinds of crypto banks online, insurance companies, virtually anything you can do today with cash in a more traditional financial service company, you can do online now with cryptos.
I mean, but for example, I had a friend of mine who was short of cash a couple weeks ago. He's a former Navy buddy. Called me up, and he was really hard up. And so I sent him a couple hundred bucks. That's what he asked for. And he got it to him. I wired it straight into his bank account, and he had his money. Would it work that way? If you want to buy, I mean, look how, early days, your buddy comes up to you, you give him a couple hundred bucks, and off he goes. Now you got to go through a bank. It could take days, wouldn't it?
Well, if you're using the cryptos in a bank, yes. If you've got Bitcoin, it'll transfer to your friend in a blink of an eye.
And then he can go off and use it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, what happens technologically if something happens and the system electronically breaks down?
Well, George, you've got now announcements by PayPal, Visa, et cetera, that they're taking cryptos and converting them to cash or vice versa. So if you want to send somebody some cash and you've got cryptos and they want money while money still exists, you can send it to PayPal and they convert it and then send it along in the other form.
Right. But so I mean, if there's no cash anymore, then what do you do?
Then they'll have cryptos, and everybody will be accepting cryptos.
Okay, but what happens technically if the electronics of all of this physically breaks down? What a mess!
We'll have a mess, George.
I mean, yeah. I went to Walgreens a couple of years ago in St. Louis. They had a power outage, and the guy said, "No, we're open. We're going to stay open. We can't use credit cards. It's cash only." And the tellers, God is my judge, John, could not do the arithmetic to give you the change because they're so used to their computerized system of, you give $40 and it's $28.18 and you get $16.82 back. That's pretty good, by the way, out of my head like that. But they could not do it. And the place was backed up with people. He ended up closing. It's crazy.
It is crazy, and it's a really good example. I refuse, when I give somebody, like at a drugstore or something, give the clerk a $20 bill, and it's like $16.12 or something like that. I do the calculation in my head. I don't wait for her to say it, just so my mind doesn't get so dependent on their use of the machines. So I know exactly what you're talking about. Listen, if the, if the whole internet went down, I don't know a word better than a mess. I mean, it
exactly
would be outrageous.
Truly. Now, who's leading the way? China in terms of this?
China's the major industrial nation on the planet in terms of cryptos, and they're doing this to stay ahead of, to beat the U.S. in terms of the dollar's placement as the world reserve currency. if China rolls out cryptos and the world converts to cryptos, and it will, it's not an if, it will. And they're the leading, crypto country in the world. That'll be a big deal. And the dollar will cease to become the world's reserve currency.
Will people trust that country? Will people trust China?
Well, it's a question whether or not they trust the currency. We'll see. They're going to roll it out formally next year. At least that's what the governor of the PBOC said, the People's Bank of China, the central bank there. I don't trust that country. I don't trust anything they say. However, if their currency becomes the standard on the planet, you make a choice.
Let me ask you the why with the minute we've got left here before the break. We're taking calls with you next hour, John. Why get rid of cash?
Because governments can't, just like I read you that statement from the head of the BIS, governments can't control cash.
That's right.
You can pull a few grand out of the bank, stick it under your mattress. They don't know.
No. And if you use the cash to go shopping, they don't know you went to the store.
That's right. They don't know if you bought some gold or silver, or if you bought a firearm, or if you, they don't know any of that. And they think they have the right to know. And so with digital currencies, they can control that. This is a population control agenda that's moving forward very quickly, George.
So are you saying that that's what this is all about, the control?
Yes.
My gosh. So if that's the case, there's another agenda somewhere, John, for the control, not just knowing our spending habits and where we go and what we're doing, but there's got to be even a bigger agenda to control everything we do.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.